Hello.
Hey, Tori, it's Dave from Echoplex Media. You're on the air. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for taking the time. You're one of the first Scientology YouTubers I found. And also, my co-host Ashley sends her love. She's just not able to make it tonight. She had some family obligations, so.
No problem. Tell her thank you for having me on, both of you.
Oh, well, thank you again for taking the time. People in the chat might not know who you are, although we got a lot of anti-Scientology people that hang out in this channel. I guess before we get started, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Basically, I'm kind of an activist. That's what I do. And I've been doing that all of my life in different forms. It's kind of how I got into the cult, believe it or not. But I was in Scientology. I was a hippie in Haight-Ashbury. Let's just start there. I was in college, left college, became a hippie in Haight-Ashbury in the 60s, hung around with all the great bands, everything else. It was fabulous. And then ended up going back to my hometown in Chicago, and my parents put me back in college and said, okay, that's it, enough of this shit. You know, you're going back to college. And so I was like, okay, whatever. So I'm in college, and I didn't like it. And these two Scientologists showed up. Now, academics who've studied people in cults say no one joins a cult. You know, they come and find you. And that's what happened. They brought me the Dianetics book. I'd never even heard of it. And they said, you know, well, you can have it. I said, really? Because all the people in that town sort of wealthy, snotty people. And they were all like, oh, what a shame. You know, you were a hippie and all this other stuff, kind of putting me down. And then these guys came and they were really nice. So I thought, all right, I'll read their book.
So you were love bombed.
I was basically, yeah, pretty much. I mean, they were just nice to me. They really were. I still am in touch with the guy that did it to this day. We're both out. But, you know, he's a nice guy. He's just a nice guy. And I wouldn't say at that point I was love bombed, but they were nice to me. They gave me the book. I read about three chapters, and my dad and I had a fight on the phone. And he said, all right, go to bed. And I've always been a night owl. And I said, Dad, I'm in college. It's 10:30. I'm not going to bed. And he said, okay, here's the deal. It's our morals or no school. So I hung up on him. And you have to know I really loved my parents. So it was I was really out of control. I hung up on him, wrote on my mirror, your morals or no school, screw you. And I hitchhiked in 1969 from Chicago all by myself to Los Angeles. Because on the back of the book, to find out more about it, it said either St. Hill, England, or American St. Hill in Los Angeles. And I knew I didn't have the money to get to St. Hill. So I thought, all right, I'll go to L.A. And I was used to hitchhiking, so basically that's what happened. I hitchhiked there, got in the cult, was in it for 30 years. And you have to remember, for most of your listeners, because everyone will think, I would never do that. And neither would we if we knew what you guys know. But there was no internet back then in 69, or if there was, it was for scientists and that was it. But there certainly wasn't any public internet. And the only way you could find out the facts about the other side of Scientology was to go hang out with these people that had already left, called the suppressive people, SPs. And once you hang out with them, you're declared suppressive and nobody will talk to you. So it was Hubbard's way of controlling people, but it worked. And at the time, in 69, there were tons of really, it was a lot of fun. It was way different than now. I mean, really fun. It's just a whole different environment. It was kind of like a party place. Everybody was screwing everybody, having a good time. We felt like we were helping the planet. We were going to clear planet Earth. I was, at the time, just a public, which is different than the Sea Org, which if you've listened to Leah Remini's shows, they're mostly all about the Sea Org or people who were raised, you know, in Scientology and their parents were in the Sea Org. Whereas I was a public, and then I joined the Sea Org, but they routed me out of it because I have epilepsy, and they made me get off my medicine. It didn't work. That's another whole long story. But anyway, my mother said, look, get back on your medicine, or I'm going to fly out there tonight. And believe me, L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology will never forget you or forget your mother. So that was it. I got back on my medicine and, you know, fought them for 30 years. And anyway, long story short, they, I have a YouTube channel, I'll just say, called Tori Magoo, Tori, T-O-R-Y, M-A-G-O-O, 44. And on it, I've made about 800 videos, but one of them, you can type in Tori Magoo 44 plus sign escape, and I made a 10-part series on my 10th anniversary of being out. And it tells the whole story of how I got in, how I woke up, and how I escaped out. So anyway, there you go.
Fantastic. Fantastic. What I mostly wanted to talk about is with you is what happened as soon as you got out, right? Because I know that every time I get an ex-Scientologist on here, I try to talk to them about something other than the things they experienced inside Scientology, because I figure are probably pretty fucking tired about talking about what happened in. What I'm wondering is, my first question, it relates to your YouTube channel. How long were you out before you started making videos
Well, I made a video right away because Mark Bunker was there, and Mark Bunker was kind of the king of videos at the time. He was working for the Lisa McPherson Trust. Lisa McPherson was a person who tried to leave Scientology, went nuts, went out in the street, took off all of her clothes, was, I think, hoping to be put in a hospital. Instead, the church came and said, no, we'll take care of her, and after 17 days, they basically, she's dead. And you can go to Lisa McPherson, I think it's .net on the internet, and it's got the whole story there. But anyway, my friends started a thing called the Lisa McPherson Trust in honor of her, and they started helping different people get out of Scientology. And Mark Bunker was working for the LMT, the Lisa McPherson Trust. So he and I and a bunch of other people were, not a bunch, there were about four or five people, we were sitting in Greg Barnes's house talking, and all these, Jesse Prince was there, all these stories were coming up about Scientology. And I said, good Lord, you've got to turn on the camera, Mark, because he was mainly just interviewing individuals. And I said, you've got to turn on the camera and get this live, because this is just, no one's ever heard this stuff, ever. And so that started my video thing. And I only did, you know, I was picketing, so they were videotaping me with that, stuff like that. But I really started once Anonymous hit in 2008, that Mark Bunker said, Anonymous gave you this webcam. Here you go. We're going to start a YouTube site for you. And I said, what am I going to do with a YouTube site? And he said, well, let's make your first video. Magoo has a YouTube site.
Yeah, I wanted to. Not only are you kind of one of the OG, like, YouTube Scientology people, you're kind of like one of the, just the OG YouTubers. You've been doing YouTube for a long time, regularly, mm-hmm. without a whole, mm-hmm. To the extent that there have been interruptions. I mean, they've been short, because I certainly haven't noticed them. And
well, yeah, I've slowed down a bit, but I've made over six or 800 videos. And, you know, at a point, see, if anyone would teach me how to do that split screen thing where I could interview you from here, you know, that kind of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Our show is that it's a split screen.
Like, that's what your show is doing. Okay. So if you would teach me how to do that, then I could interview other people. But a bunch of people who have their own YouTube sites have said to me, we want to interview you. And I say, okay, fine. If you'll teach me how to do X, you know, how to do this, I'll do the interview. And they'll say, deal, we'll do it. And I make the interview, and then they wouldn't teach me. They give me a little bit, kind of a nibble, but that was it. They wouldn't really teach me.
I'll be pretty straightforward with you on that. It's a big barrier to entry for a lot of people on that is you have to have a pretty powerful computer to do it right. Like, it's
okay.
And but we could talk a little bit more about that. There's also no problems with audio only, and if you ever really want to interview somebody, you both could just remote into my system and I could push it to your channel for you. We can figure something like that out. I don't mind helping you at all.
Okay. We'll talk about it later. That's good to know. But that's why, you know, figuring that I made 800 videos and most of them are me talking. You know, there's some of them where I've interviewed a few people that were at my house, but most of them are in my bedroom. It's kind of amazing, really, when you think about it. I mean, I think I have 4 million hits on my YouTube site, and I don't know, like 19 or 20,000 subscribers. And that's pretty cool considering, you know, I didn't really push it or anything. It's just one of those things where I just started making videos. And as they would pick on me, I would make another video. See, yeah. The interesting thing that most people don't know is that I had said, once I woke up, and I only woke up a little bit, but once I woke up, I said to Andreas, who was my friend in Norway, and he was the guy who actually helped me wake up online. Do you want me to tell you that story? It's kind of short.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so do you know what formatting is?
It means a lot of different things. What does it mean in this context?
Well, anyway, in this context, I don't still know what it means really, but at the time, they only had these. It was like, they didn't have like web pages and shit like that. They had like news groups, and it was just like topic, 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 topic. That was it, you know. And Scientology was trying to, if someone had written L. Ron Hubbard was a liar, they didn't want anybody to see that. So they'd try to post things about cooking or, you know, anti-psych stuff or shit like that. And I was the person who had opened those accounts for them, not knowing that's what they were doing. My auditor asked me, will you help us? We've got to handle these evil people on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. I mean, I really trusted this guy, really. I mean, I was totally still in the mindset. So they flew me around and I'd opened up a bunch of phony accounts. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing with them? And he said, I'm not going to tell you because these people are really evil and they'll get you in deposition. And you know, that's just the way it's going to be. And you don't want to do that. And I said, yeah, true. Which is really how the Scientology is. But I didn't know that at the time.
I mean, really, nobody wants to be in a deposition, to be honest, right? There's nothing you can do.
No, true.
There's about any million other things you could do with your day other than being grilled in a place where it's like not like if you're testifying in court. In a deposition, you have like less rights as the person like on the stand. So deposition sucks. That's absolutely true. Yeah. That person was right.
So I kind of knew that. And so I thought, okay, fine, just don't tell me. And I trust you guys. So there you go. But as the things went on, it got weirder and weirder. And I finally thought, now, wait a minute. And they really build in fear in people. And to this day, they build in fear in their members so that you won't look on the internet, because they know once you read, once you hear me or anybody talking about the other side of it, who spent 30 years in it, you're going to go, wait a minute, I got to look at the other side, right? Because it's not like I sound like some evil, horrible person. I'm just telling you my story, right?
Right, of course. In fact, yeah, you're the opposite. You're very approachable. That's one of the things I think people like about your channel.
Thank you. So that's where they want to make sure, you know, they try to keep all of people from looking at that, and they build in fear. So they had told me, one of my friends kind of went crazy, and they said, and this guy that got me to open up the phony accounts, my auditor, who's a counselor, had said, look, you know, I'm telling you, this is what happens when you look on the internet. These people are really evil. And she was jumping out back windows and just a mess. Now, I didn't know it, and once I got out, she told me, Tori, they had drugged me and reverse audited me. Auditing's supposed to make you better. Reverse auditing makes you worse. And so they basically, she was a plant, and then she started waking up, so they fucked her up. And that's what happened, but I didn't know that. Do you see what I mean?
Right, right. So that's interesting that you created all these kind of sock puppet accounts for them without really knowing...
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I just totally trusted him. I thought, okay, I didn't even know what a sock puppet, or, you know, what one of those accounts was. I didn't know what the internet was. That's why when I left, when I finally woke up, let me finish the thing with Andreas. So I'm making these posts about nothing because I finally decided I've got to just be on the internet because I thought somehow maybe these people can help me. You know, not really help me, but somehow something good could happen. So I'm on there, but I'm not reading anything. And you can go back to the Wayback Machine and read back then. And I just sound nuts. You know, it's just totally nuts, right? So because I wasn't really trying to say anything. I was just like trying to be there in the space. Okay, so at that time, you know, let's say you say something and then I say something. In between it, they would have all these little arrows. And all I knew how to do was copy paste. So you would say something, I'd copy paste it, put it in the response, and then I think, oh, who needs all these stupid arrows? And I'd erase them all, right? So now Andreas Helgeland, who's in Norway, never been in Scientology, is a computer geek, and he'd started a website, xenu.net, which is their top secret word, you know, which, you know, the Simpsons have done a whole show on Xenu and stuff like that. It's pretty well known in the world, but that's why I call it the Truman Show. You've seen the Truman Show, right, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why I call it the Truman Show, because it's very much like that. That is how Scientology is. You can't see the walls. You're inside of it. So, okay, so Andreas puts up this huge website. I happen to see it, and I don't read it, but I just see it, and I think, oh, my God, this guy's like the devil. And so now he writes me a little message, and he says, Magoo, which was my nickname on the Internet, nobody can understand what you're saying because you're not formatting. You're not formatting what you're saying. And I said, I don't even know what formatting is. And he explained it to me, showed me how I did it. It worked. And it just blew my mind that here's this devil, the horrible person on the planet, but he helped me. And here's these guys that are in my church being creepier and creepier to me, worse and worse, you know, really icky. And I'm just thinking, no, wait a minute. We're having to use phony names, phony addresses, phony phone numbers. Here's Andreas, who helps me on the Internet, and then I wrote him a little thank you, just saying thank you for helping me, and he writes back, you're welcome, and he's got his full name, his full phone number, and it, you know, his full address, everything. You know, he's like totally upfront, right?
Like a professional.
Yeah. So I think I've got to go look on the Internet. Now, the day I looked on the Internet, thank God this happened. But because it was a news group, that's all it was topic. And Scientology was spamming it, trying to jack all this stuff down and off the page, because their view, and they're not wrong, is that very few people read the second page, right? Everything's the kind of the first page. So I go on it, and that day, the whole page is food recipes. And in between it, and I'm looking at it, because he'd said, these are really evil people, and don't ever look at it, and all this. And it's like, how to bake a German chocolate cake, and how to make cupcakes, and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, what? And in between it are people saying, I didn't say that. Scientology is changing my words. And at that point, I realized, oh, my God, that's what I'm doing. I'm these accounts they're using to stop free speech.
Or and like, I'm a like big flood free the channel speech. Kind of, yeah.
Huh?
We flood the channel is what they're doing. They're trying to flood it with so much bullshit that you can't find information.
Exactly. Right. And I'm a big free speech advocate, so I was like, I don't care what they're saying. No, I can't do it. And I called up Yachty, who's the guy who got me to open the accounts, and I said, look, I really can't do this anymore. I've got to go back to work, and that's it, blah, blah, blah. And it just rolled from there, you know, just really shortly after that. It was one of those things where, you know, Andreas and I started talking, and he said, I don't think Scientologists are bad. I just think they're misinformed. I suggest you start reading. Now, I was terrified to read, but here was this guy that had really helped me. So I thought, all right, I'll read one article. And I read this lady's article. Ladies, if you're thinking of joining the Sea Org, read this. And I was always thinking of going back in. So I read it, and it was all about enforced abortions, where they made you get abortions. And she had to go back on post the next day. So A, they made her kill her baby. And then B, she had to be back on post the next day. And I sat in my dining room, which is where my computer was, and I cried for 4 hours. I just couldn't stop crying. And my husband was out of town, so he didn't see any of that. But I was just like, I didn't know what to do. So that's when I started talking to Andreas. I said, I can't stop crying. I don't know what to do. And he said, well, I believe in truth. I believe in looking at both sides, and I have the courage to say what I think. I don't think Scientologists are bad. I just think they're misinformed. And I suggest you start looking. And that was really, that just cracked open my Truman Show, and that was it. You know, shortly after that, I said, I got to get in touch with somebody. And then, boom, you know, Stacy from the LMT called me. And they said, look, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. And I just, that's why my YouTube site is called Tori Magoo 44, because my dad is in the Football Hall of Fame, the American Football Hall of Fame. He played for the Chicago Cardinals. And he, is this redundant? Is it okay that I'd be telling you this or not?
We're good.
We're good?
We're good.
Okay. Okay. So anyway, his name is Magoo. That was his original. I gave him that name because he was funny. He was broadcasting on NBC and for football, and he was funny, and I loved him. And so and he died when I was 22, when he was 51. So, but he's always been around me spiritually, and so now no one will talk to me. I can't talk to anybody. I can't call up my friends and say, hey, I'm leaving Scientology. You can't do that. So I'm just like, all right, what can I do? Who can I talk to? So I kind of plugged into my dad, and I just said, I don't know what to do, and I just got this total, like, get out of town now. Just get out of town. And I was like, whoa, okay. And my dad has a lot of courage, so I thought, I'm going to keep him really close to me, so... That's right. When I started the YouTube site, I made it. And his football name, his football number was 44.
So you sort of. You left in 2000, is that correct?
Right. July 19th, 2000.
Oh, that's right. I had just sent you a friend request. I was kind of nervous to do so because we don't really know each other. And then, like, one of the first things I saw that you posted was you talking about it having been 21 years. You've been out a lot longer than the other people who have been in who I've talked to.
Still in when I was out. Mike Rinder was in Scientology when I was out.
Yeah, we haven't been able to get Rinder, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get Rinder around here. We're a pretty small operation, but I've talked to Karen. I've talked to Doug. I interviewed Chris Shelton like a very long time ago. And yeah, all those people were still in when you got out. Unfortunately, we also talked to Andy Nolch.
It's a pretty wild time, but they started when Stacy said, she said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. And she said, look, just come here for a week and just rest. And I thought, okay, I can do that. And I said, but I really don't have the cash right now. And she said, we'll fly you out here. Don't worry about it. Now, to that day, just so your listeners get it, I did not, and anyway, to that day, I didn't really think Scientology did bad things. I really didn't. Believe it or not, I didn't. And so they said, just get a cab, order a cab, and go to LAX, and the ticket will be there. It'll be an e-ticket, which I'd never even heard of, but I was like, okay. So they said, bring a phone. And back in 2000, nobody had phones. Like, you guys all, everybody has cell phones now. We all do. But back then, we didn't. We just had, like, these little emergency flip phones. And so she said, bring a phone. And I said, Stacy, they don't do that kind of shit. And she said, Tori, we used to run these programs that we're talking about. We know what they do. Yes, they do. Bring a phone. So I bring the phone. I ordered the van. I wait for it to come. It doesn't come. I call them, and they say, I'm sorry, an anonymous caller came and called and canceled it.
Oh.
And that was my first realization of, like, oh, my God, because they'd been sending me out to, quote-unquote, handle these critics for years. And the critics had been yelling at me this and that, and Hubbard's a liar and all this shit. And I just thought, oh, yeah, sure. You know, you're just... And that's not true. You never did Scientology. You don't know what it is. But all of a sudden, here they canceled my van. I thought, this is the kind of shit they had been talking about. And so they kind of turned me into a critic, because I had even called Stacy back and I said, I'm not going to speak out. I'm not going to pick it. And I'm definitely not making videos. But once they canceled my van, I finally got out to LAX. I walk, the plane is canceled. I think, can Travolta cancel a plane? I really didn't know. And then I walk in the LAX, and there's the vice president of the Church of Scientology coming up to me going, Tori, we know where you're going. You're not going there. And I get out the little flip phone, and I go, Stacy, the vice president is here. And she goes, I'm putting Jesse on. Don't set down the phone. And Jesse goes, Tori, this is Jesse Prince. Do not set down the phone. That's the first thing. Ever. No matter what, don't set down the phone. Because they're going to try to get it from you, and then they're going to take you. And it was a whole dramatic thing to get through just onto another airplane. And I finally got another airplane. I flew to Chicago. My husband comes walking up. And we had to change planes. And he's like, honey, hi, we need to go on a vacation. And I'm like, he never did any of this dark stuff. So he didn't know that side of Scientology. And I thought, you know what? He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's like I was, like a blind deer in the headlights, you know, believing this guy, Bill Yachty, that, oh, it's, you know, we just need to help Tori. She's gotten with some suppressive people, and they're hurting her. And you just come say you got to go on a vacation. And as soon as he said that, I knew he was full of shit. I knew OSA was, you know, I knew it was an OSA program because he wasn't that kind of person. He wouldn't do that normally.
So I have Beach in the chat asking, are you still in touch with Stacy?
No, I'm not, but I saw her, I don't know, a number of years ago. I went to Mark Bunker's when he lived down in San Diego, and we saw her, and that's the last time I saw her.
Well, good on her for, operational awareness as you were on your way to the airport. Because if she didn't know that and let you know that you needed a phone, and that you needed to, she probably also told you to try to do everything in your power to keep your cool and to call as soon as there were problems. Like, if she didn't know that, you probably never would have made it.
Well, she and Jesse, because Jesse ran the program more than she did. So he was the one who probably educated on it. And Jesse has helped me forever. I mean, he has just been a wonderful help to me. I cannot say enough about Jesse Prince. And if you haven't ever heard him, Google his name and listen to him talk. He's wonderful.
Jesse's actually my next person. Jesse might be my next person I try to get on. I am Facebook friends with Jesse.
Oh, great. I don't know if he will. He's kind of sick of Scientology, but he might.
Well, I talked to him about something else. It's not like that's the only thing he's ever thought about, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah, true. Yeah, true. He's got an amazing family. I mean, really an amazing family. And that became my biggest thing, because they started posting. First of all, they flew out this guy, Bill Yachty, to Clearwater, right? So they were there. That's why in Chicago, my husband said, okay, I'm coming with you to Clearwater. And I said, if you get on this plane, I'm calling the police. And you have to know that in Scientology, that's like the devil's devil. You're never allowed to call the police. You can be raped. You can be beat up. You know, it doesn't matter. You can never call the police, right? That's right. Just another one of their weirdo things that keeps people in control. And, of course, then the cops can't find out all the shit that they're doing. So I told him, I said, if you get on that plane, I'm calling the police. I am. Because I knew if he came, I knew they'd fly in Yachty, and I knew the two of them together would tag team and say it's us or them. And I wouldn't be able, I didn't know. I honestly didn't know at the time. Is Stacy, Jesse, and Mark, Bob Minton, are they really SPs that are out? Bob was never in. He's just a multimillionaire that helped them. But Jesse and Stacy were. And I didn't know if they were really SPs or if they were just pretend SPs to see who's leaving the church and who's connecting up with who.
Well, luckily for you, they were the real deal. We had Mark on the show while he was running for office. Mark is great. Mark is such a nice guy.
He's so wonderful. He's been another dream person for me, really a huge help. I love him greatly.
So let's fast forward to when you made your first YouTube video. What I wanted to, like, once you started making YouTube videos, did you hear from Scientology? Were they contacting you about it?
They had been writing about me day and night for years. you know, on the internet. I mean, years posting lie after lie after lie. You have to understand, this was like a war that I had going. It wasn't a matter of them contacting me. They were just trying to drive me insane. And Jesse pointed that out. He said, Tori, this is psychological warfare. Because, you know, the one thing happened right when I came home. I had these little turtles out on my front porch, and every once a week, a leg would be broken off.
Oh.
And I thought, that can't possibly be gang members. And I told it to one of my friends who's an ex-Scientologist, and she said, oh, you're just getting too paranoid. Don't worry about it. And I called Jesse, and he said, Tori, listen to me very carefully. I used to run these programs. I know what I'm talking about. It's psychological warfare. They're trying to drive you insane. And so he was my backup all the time, you know, because they were, it was a big war back then with the exes and the, you know, it was just a scramble of stuff. But I forgot what you asked me. What was it?
Oh, well, that was the answer to the question, actually. It wasn't, you said, you know, I'd asked if you had heard from them when you started making videos, but the fact of the matter is that they were putting up web pages and whatnot to, like, tell incorrect stories about you from the day you left, apparently.
Yeah, they weren't putting up web pages because they didn't have web pages back then. But they were posting all over the place on these chat boards, just lie after lie after lie. And they had this guy, Truth Seeker, as an example, who would just post number one lie. And then the next hour, he would post number two lie and carbon copy the first lie. And just on and on and up into the hundreds, right? So it was just like thousands of lies about me, right? And you have to remember, all these other people weren't out, or if they were out, they weren't speaking out, right?
Right. Well, at that time, it wasn't that easy to, like, there was no, people didn't have really a way to do it effectively when you're going up against an organization with the resources like Scientology. And if it's all posts on message boards, they're just going to be able to post more than you. So going to war with them back then was probably pretty fucking difficult.
Yeah, it was a big war. It was. So they had this guy, Truth Seeker, write all these lies. And then all of a sudden, these guys start calling my house, and they're guys looking for porn. And they sound really weird, and you have to know when a Scientologist leaves, they sound really weird too all the time, because Scientology's built so much shit in their head about me or anybody that they're kind of afraid to call us, right?
Right.
And people were calling me all the time, so I was on the phone trying to help people, help them wake up, get out. And so now these guys call wanting porn, and I realize it, and I say, look, you know, because they've got my home phone number, so I say, look, I just want you to know I was in the Church of Scientology. This is just a scam with them. I'm not who you think I am, and I'm not doing porn, so good luck. Good luck on your hunt. So then finally this guy called who was alert enough, and I said, could you get me the URL for that? And he said, yeah, sure. And he comes back, and it says, for a good time, call Tori. And it's got all this shit that I'll do. Just, you know, just awful stuff. I'll do all this crap, right?
That's one of their go-tos actually, is to kind of slut-shame women, you know? That's like, they do that to every prominent woman, every woman who speaks out against the cult, actually.
Really?
I think so, yeah. They did it to Leah. They did it to Karen.
I've never heard anybody where they slut shame. Yeah, I see what you're saying, but they
haven't
had them.
It's not the exact same thing.
They didn't put their phone number on a porn and, you know, the porn thing.
Yeah, that's a bit
extreme.
Here's
what happened. Let me tell you why they don't do it anymore. So I go on to IRC. Do you know what that is?
I'm 44 years old. Yeah, IRC was my first internet chat. Yeah.
Okay, good. But I don't know what people know and don't know because it's older. But anyway, I will go on there, and I knew a bunch of my friends were computer geeks. And so I tell them what's happened. They say, get the URL. I get it. They say, get it over to us. I get it to them. And in under 3 minutes, they come back and they say the exact address for Truth Seeker is the exact same address for a good time call Tori. Which I kept saying, this is the church. And people say, no, it's not. You know, this is just someone who absolutely, you know, has these questions for you. You know, like, why aren't you on TV? I'd say, well, you set it up, I'll be on TV. You know what I mean? But he'd be like, oh, she's just a phony. She's not on TV. And back then, the media was scared of Scientology, too. Everybody was. So, you know, it was a tricky time. It really was. So anyway, I say to these guys, well, what should I do? And they said, call the police. It's a federal crime. So I call the cops here in Burbank. They come. They see all the shit. They write a ticket, or they write some kind of a thing for Truth Seeker, just saying, you know, it's against the law. If you do it again, we're coming after you. And I knew Scientology. They knew they can't afford to get arrested. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Bad PR.
Bad PR. So he said, I want you to post it on Google, this and that. He had me post the ticket thing all over, and Truth Seeker vanished forever. So there was that. That was all in the early days. Now, finally, in 2008, someone leaked the Tom Cruise video onto YouTube, right?
I remember that.
You do or don't?
I do. That was the biggest party on the internet ever, was when that Tom Cruise video came out.
It's where he said, you're either in or out, right? So now you have to get, for me, I felt like I was in an alley with maybe five or six other people and just this huge organization, you know, beating the shit out of us, right? And we were trying to fight and dodge and everything else, and it's just a fucking nightmare every day. You know, it was a huge fight. And then all of a sudden, they post that video of Tom Cruise. Scientology gets with whoever, you know, Scientology announces to YouTube, get it off, you know, that's our member, you can't do it, that's it. And Anonymous goes, fuck that. You know, we own the internet, you don't. And we're going to show you who owns the internet. And they basically spammed Scientology's website for 3 days. And I was sort of against hacking at the time, so I made a post about it saying, I don't think these guys are real. It's just more of OSA. They're just trying to cause a distraction off this book that was coming out about Tom Cruise. So Anonymous calls me in my home, in my bedroom, right here. And they're like, this is Anonymous. You know, they're using that phony voice.
Right.
And they're like, this is Anonymous. And I'm like, shit. And I said, hi. You know, we get on Skype. It's about 6 or 10 people. And they're all young kids. And I'm not going to get into what their plans were, but I'll just say they weren't that great. And I said, look, you're up against a highly lit. Oh, and that was the other thing with the alley. It was like all of a sudden overnight, this 9,000 people show up to saying, we're on your side, Tori. We're going to fight with you. It was just like, oh, it's so great. So they say to me, we're going to do this and this and this. And I say, don't. They'll put you in prison. You can't. And they said, well, what can we do? And I said, let's do a picket. And they said, okay, we'll do it. So I meet us at the complex, blah, blah, blah. They had to check it out. There's a video on the internet of me walking around the internet with them and or around the complex and showing it to them. And then they said, all right, on February 10th, we'll be there with 500 people. And we've been picketing with 10, maybe 20, 30 people. And I thought, 500 people? Sure.
And more
but
than
they
that
were there with 500 people. It was amazing. It was a totally amazing thing. And all these executives that had been on the chat boards telling stories, and we'd say, this guy's from Gold. He's got to be. He knows too much stuff. But they wouldn't say their names. And I just kept posting, please say your name, please say your name. But people, they wouldn't. So finally, once Anonymous hit and the picket started, like people like Mark Headley came up to me and said, hi, my name's Blown for Good. I'm Mark Headley. And I was like, oh, it's so good to meet you. You know, it was just so great to meet Jeff Hawkins and, you know, Jenna Miscavige and just all these people that came out of the woodwork. It was great.
That Tom Cruise video. As soon as they tried to stop it, they kind of were digging their own grave on the internet because it's the Streisand effect. It's the same thing. It's like if they tried hard enough to stop it, people would notice that they were trying to stop it. And now the story is that they're trying to stop it, and that story is spreading to people that didn't care about the original video. Now they're watching the original video, and it was like one of the first things I saw kind of go viral on the internet. And it was neat because that video was everywhere.
Right.
You couldn't like go somewhere on the internet and not see that video after they took it off of YouTube.
And we said the same thing about Anonymous. Bunker and I were really right with Anonymous because they loved Mark because he made that video about, you know, don't, you know, be careful because it's going to come back on us. And so he and I were talking about it, and we both agreed, if they just leave these kids alone, they'll be gone in a week. You know, they're kids.
They'll move on to something else.
Bored. yeah, they'll move on. But if they do what they usually do, they're going to be here for fucking ever. And they're not so much in the United States, but they're huge in Europe still. And they've written to me and said, look, you know, we're on to other stuff, but if you need us, just let us know.
Well, yeah, that's great, actually, that when things started going and you needed support, you got it from basically a very unexpected place. And
totally.
And then you went to the event, and once you got to the event, people that were in this place, some of them were like, oh, no, this is actually who I am. Yeah, I'm this real person.
Right.
I'm not OSA. And then,
right.
then that fear of yours was sort of set aside. So
they couldn't sue all those people. It ended up being 9,000 people around the world. So in almost every major city, Anonymous was there picketing. It was fantastic.
And like over 9,000 is now a big internet meme that doesn't even always refer back to Scientology. It's just now part of internet culture. So we've got a couple minutes here before I got to move on. What I wanted to ask is, like, what do you think is the most effective tactic for people if someone they know is in a cult or some kind of high control group, be it on the internet or in real life? What do you think, like, somebody in that position, what do you think is like an effective tactic for them?
Well, for me, I believe kindness, love, you know, it's kind of like the things that got them in, right?
Right.
You know, the love bombing, not love bombing because it's too phony and they know it now, but real stuff, you know, send cards or you know, send, like, I had a guy who had a daughter who was in, as an example. And he said, no, I don't want to say anything to her because, you know, because I said what I'm saying now, send her a card, something like that. No, I don't want to, because I want to be here when she comes out. And I said, she's never going to come out. You know, she's never going to come out. So he started going in with just flowers. That was all. He would walk into Celebrity Center. He'd say, I want to give these flowers to my daughter. And they would kick him out. And he was a big guy. And it just got every week he would do it. They would kick him out. And finally they started sending the PR. And the guy knew religion, so he knew how to talk to these guys. And he talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. And he just kept going. He wouldn't leave. And they finally kicked her out of the Sea Org. And she finally left Scientology. That was it.
So be persistent and be kind.
That's what I think, because I've watched these people who are, you know, like, I get the angry gay pope, you know, it's entertaining to some people, but you have to understand on the other side, it's just keeping people in. That's all you're doing. You're not waking anyone up. And OSA's right there going, look at how mean that guy is. Do you really want to go out with that person?
And also it helps, so, like, I think that, like, strangers are generally less likely to get somebody out of a control group or a cult than like somebody that they know and care about.
Right. So, like, one of the best things the angry gay pope did was he somehow got this picture of their huge fences out in gold. And that, have you ever seen that picture with the big spiky fences?
I mean, now we have drone footage of Gold Base. Yeah, I've seen all kinds of pictures of Gold Base.
Yeah. But anyway, he got one of those photographs that was really good. And that kind of stuff is really effective. But as far as trying to get someone out, I think kindness, trying to, you know, music is another great thing. Because, like, one guy was posting lyrics back in 2000. And when I got out, I asked him, I said, why do you do that? And he said, because most people who get in a cult get in before, you know, in their younger years. So I post music before that time, and it was, and you know what? It kind of did jar me because I was reading his stuff and it was like Beatles lyrics. And I thought, God, I'm so far from where I was when I was a hippie. It, not in a good way, you know, not in a good way at all.
Well, excellent. So we've got kindness and persistence. And I think, again, it's so much more important that it's somebody that they know, even if they've cut that person off because of Scientology, if they knew them in the before times, because that person can just do things, simple things like remind them of good times they had together, remind them of family functions.
Right.
Remind them of that time, you know, the time like Uncle John drank too much tequila and fell asleep on the couch at 3 p.m. and everybody made fun of him. Like all these kinds of things. Whereas if it's an activist, you might have a different tool set, but that, you know, as as somebody who also likes to see people find their way out of cults and control groups.
Yeah.
If I'm probably not going to do it, but if somebody's friend or former friend or mother or somebody comes to me, I'll try to help them, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Well, great.
But
Tori,
you never know. I always say you never know what's going to do it. You just never know. So follow your heart, you know, because it's the best indicator of anything.
Well, Tori, thank you for joining me this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. Is there anything that your listeners had any questions that they wanted answered? Or
I got the one from Beach. Everybody's there's a bunch of people in chat, but they're kind of sitting there quietly listening, which is weird for my chat. You have everybody quietly listening, and maybe I'll have you on again. So it's like it keeps them under control. It's kind of a raucous place in my chat.
I hope it was okay.
Thanks again. Okay. Where people can find you on YouTube at Tori Magoo 44, is that correct?
That's correct, and it's TORYMAGOO 44.
Wonderful. Thanks. Thank you. We'll definitely have you on again. I know my co-host, the Media Wench, would love to talk to you.
Okay, great. All right, and they can write in questions to you, and then we can answer them the next time.
Yeah, we can do a Q&A next time, definitely. We'll talk soon. Have a good night, okay. Tori. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, that was Tori Magoo 44 from YouTube, also known as Tori Christman. Super nice. She's one of the OG YouTubers, not just OG YouTube anti-Scientologists. It was kind of funny. I was like, everybody's quietly listening to the show. I was like, what's going on here? But that's when we have a good guest, that often happens. I know when Tony Ortega was on too, there were more people in the chat than usual, and most people were quietly listening to Tony.